Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me.
This is what we play for Brady Quinn?
Yeah, it's the Trump's the 90s rap.
This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me.
By the way, you can join the 411 Pain WQAM Street Team this Friday, 3:30, at the Dade County Federal Credit Union in Doral. They got a car sale going on. Dolphins cheerleaders will be there. It is Friday, 3:30. Brady Quinn is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Brady Quinn.
Can I just say thank you guys so much for continuing to play my favorite band? And I got to admit this, if I could come back to life and be someone else, it might be Chad Kroeger. It might be their lead single for Nickelback.
Now, how do you know the lead singer for Nickelback?
Doesn't everybody?
I mean, do you really like this band, Nickelback? I thought we were trolling you with Nickelback music.
There was a former teammate of mine, And his girl actually dated Chad Kroeger at one point. So it became kind of like a hot contested issue. And we're basically almost like in The Office. Remember, if you're talking like about Michael in The Office, and all that, when she would play the music of her former lover, it was kind of like that. They get in a fight, and all of a sudden she would turn on Nickelback.
Wow,
that's a ruthless. Great move. Yeah, you can't really. That's an argument ender, right? You can't top that.
You can go punch Chad in the face. I know how to handle that situation quick.
Crowder almost got in a fight with Randall Hill in the 2 o'clock hour today. Randall Hill was all fired up about the University of Miami. What do you make of the situation, if I can call it that, at the University of Miami, Brady?
Look, it's hard because Mark Richt is going into his third year, and I think you'd expect bigger things at this point. You know, losing four straight doesn't help, and you can obviously make the case that they've lost to some inferior opponents, at least talent-wise, right? But the most important position on that team, the quarterback position, is he hasn't played great. And that's really the biggest issue right now, I think, with this team. And Nicosi Perry's young. I think he's got some upside to him. And he just needs more time to develop. You know, I think we think these turnarounds happen overnight. They don't, especially when you've got a younger player who needs more development, and he's splitting reps with Blake Rozier, which didn't really, you know, hasn't really worked out. Neither guy's played overly well throughout the course of the year. So, you know, to me, that's the biggest issue right now. I would imagine next year they'll turn around, you know, relatively quickly if they can just, you know, take better care of the football, have a little bit more production through the air. You know, typically they're good defensively. They're good. Their ground game's good. It's just more of an issue at the quarterback position. So whether that's the recruiting or just more development for a guy like Perry, you know, in either sense, I tend not to panic in situations like this. I'll put it that way.
And Brady, did Mark Richt, did he mishandle the quarterback situation, pulling Malik Rozier in the FIU game and then putting him back in the next week when Nicosi struggled and in and out for over a month now? Is that tough on the quarterback to deal with that, knowing every time you walk off the court, somebody might walk up to you and not address what to do against cover four, but to tell you you're benched for the next series?
Yeah, I think at some point you're trying to make a statement to them, right? I mean, there's the old story of, you know, Tony Rice and then Lou Holtz. And, you know, Lou Holtz telling him, you know, look, son, you're not going to throw more than five interceptions this season. And Tony said, well, how do you know that? He said, because I'm going to pull you after five. I'm not going to play the rest of the season. So, you know, there's that thought process to it. But I think nowadays, kids coming into college football, they're more sensitive to how they're treated and when they're benched and how they handle failure. And I think you've got to communicate to them that you're trying to teach them a lesson, and you got to make sure that whatever, if you're giving someone else an opportunity, you need to make sure that they understand what exactly that is, and the guy that you're benching understands what they did wrong. Because that's the hardest thing is you get benched and no one's giving you any sort of answers as far as how to fix the problems that you have. And that's the toughest thing is, as a quarterback, you know, you're a problem solver out there. And so if all of a sudden you can't solve those problems that your team's having issues with, and then all of a sudden you're getting benched because of that, that's an issue. And it's an issue because mentally you need someone to help you get the answers so you can figure that out next time you go in and play better. That's the only way you're going to get better as a player. That's the only way your team's going to get better.
Brady Quinn is with us. I do want to get into Miami Dolphins talk with you for a second, but as long as we're talking college, let me ask you a basic college football question. Alabama, obviously, that's the powerhouse. I said earlier, I wouldn't mind seeing Alabama and Notre Dame for a national championship, two storied programs. Crowder said no way Notre Dame could hang with them. You said Clemson would be the only team. What's your take on that, Brady?
I don't think even Clemson could hang with them, to be honest with you. I mean, people want to make it look like that's a matchup. To me, the way Alabama's played this year, I think they pretty much take care of business against anyone. And I feel that Tua Tagovailoa is much more proven. The only question right now with him is his knee and how that could potentially plague them moving forward. But he's much more proven than Trevor Lawrence is. I mean, you go and look at the rushing attack for Clemson. If Clemson takes on Alabama, I can guarantee you, they're going to take away the running game. They're going to stack the box. They're not going to allow Clemson to run on them. And then all of a sudden, you're putting all this pressure on a true freshman quarterback who has played well this year, but I don't really feel like they've been tested. I mean, everyone made a big deal at the NC State game. They weren't very good. You know, we had BC this past week. But when you've got a guy like Travis, you know, ATN, who's rushing for, 7 yards a carry, something like that, it makes life a little bit easier. So, I honestly just don't think anyone can hang with this team, but the points they're able to put up on offense and as good as they are up front on defense with guys like Quinnen Williams and Isaiah Bugs, they're just too talented.
And to that question, I was going to ask you, if Tua, and I hate to, you know, wish any injury or whatever, knock on wood, but if Tua was out, how far is the drop-off with the entire Alabama team if Jalen Hurts is playing? Can they compete? Because we just said, I'm with you, Brady.
I think ESPN said that Tua is playing this week.
Because I was going to say, but if he was to get hurt, like, I'm with you. I don't think anybody can really beat Alabama, but what is the drop-off if Tua doesn't play? How much does he impact this team?
Well, I mean, it's somewhat of a big drop-off only because Jalen Hurts just has never developed throwing the football like we thought he would. And if you look at one of the biggest mismatches on the field when Alabama is taking on any opponent, it's all those five-star wide receivers like Jerry Jeudy who are uncoverable. And if you don't have a guy who can get him the football, none of that matters. You know, they can be running wide open down the field, but if Jalen Hurts doesn't know where to go with the football and can't get it there accurately, it's not going to matter. So, to me, it's a huge drop-off in that regard, even though Jalen Hurts, you know, was responsible for helping to take this team to the national championship last year. I just think we saw in the second half of the national championship game the difference that Tua can make. And then this year, you've seen the way he's taken this offense to a whole nother level. So that's really what, you know, they'd be missing out on if they're not able to have Tua. Don't they play, like, Citadel this week?
Yeah.
One of the next 2 weeks, I know they have like a layup. I'm not even sure why you'd walk him out there for that game.
Yeah, it almost seems like you're risking. There is no reward there.
It's a bye week with the game involved.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
I think they could beat Citadel without Tua. I think so.
I think they could beat Citadel without a quarterback. No.
The Reds
play Wildcat the whole game.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, they probably could.
Honestly, like we were talking, I saw the gambling lines on Odds Shark. If you want to bet Alabama, no point spread, just Alabama to beat Citadel, you'd have to lay $175,000 to win $100. That's how big a favorite they are over the Citadel.
I'm surprised it's not higher. Like, you have to lay like $10 million to win like $10.
Now,
that would be much more likely.
Let me shift gears into the NFL for 1 second. Brady Quinn is with us, the only guy from Notre Dame that I've ever liked. Brady Quinn, if Brock Osweiler started all 10 games for the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins are 5-5 right now, or if Ryan Tannehill had played all 10 games for the Miami Dolphins, would they be the same? Would they still be a 5-5 team if Ryan Tannehill had played all 10 games and not, you know, had Brock Osweiler come in because of the injury?
No, I think they'd be probably a little better. I mean, maybe they're 6-4, maybe it's 7-3, but I think you look at, you know, the difference between Ryan Tannehill and Brock Osweiler. And to me, I think, you know, first of all, Brian's tough, in particular against pressure. I mean, we've seen him, you know, battle through a bunch of hits throughout the course of his time with the Miami Dolphins. But to me, I think that's one of the biggest, you know, differences. I mean, you go back to last week's game, they're bringing a zero blitz, and Brock just panicked. I mean, he looked like a giraffe out there. in headlights, and he didn't know what to do with the football. And that's the difference. I think Brian sees the pressure. He's taken those hits before, and he's going to deliver a strike or at least, you know, throw that football in the vicinity of someone who knows where to go. And sometimes those little decisions are the difference in the game, instead of taking a shot that takes you out of field goal range and that kind of impacts the game moving on forward. But I think they'd be a win or two better probably. But look, this team has also decimated other spots. I mean, the offensive line has struggled staying healthy. Not having a guy like Albert Wilson takes away some of that too.
And Brady, you called him that's a deer in headlights, but I'm glad you said giraffe because he is big as hell. I look at him.
Well, here's the thing, though. A giraffe wouldn't be blinded by headlights because they're so tall. So
How big a truck could it be?
Like, for you to say a giraffe in headlights.
What about the big floodlights on top of a Hummer?
There's no.
I'm with Brady here. Have you ever been to Africa?
Would get up to the knees of a giraffe. No.
I've been to Africa.
They have jeeps as tall as a giraffe.
Bigger than giraffes.
It just seems like a crazy statement to say, Brady, to be a giraffe in headlights.
Brady, to your point, I wanted to ask you, because I've watched Brock at camp. I've watched him, you know, just do drills. He looks kind of awky being that tall. Like, is it a disadvantage? Because, you know, taller quarterbacks can see. But once you get to 6'7", is it a disadvantage to be that long and lanky?
It can be. And it really goes back to, like, Scott Mitchell, they were talking about, you know, the way he would throw the football. And sometimes if you have more of an over-the-top release, that ball coming at a downward angle can be difficult for guys to catch. And so sometimes those guys have to actually adjust their arm to be more of a sidearm angle with the way that they throw the football. Sometimes it can kind of work against them, in particular in some of those shorter passes. But overall, I think most NFL, you know, coaches like having a taller guy, bigger guy like that in the pocket so he can see everything, especially considering this is a league where anticipation is huge when you're making throws and you got to make throws into windows before wide receivers are even there. So being 6'8 or 6'7, whatever the heck he is, it helps big time, at least being able to see where you're going with the football. And that's sometimes one of the hardest things to do. I mean, I'm almost 6'4, and I can't tell you how many times I had to make blind throws and how hard that is to be confident making a throw where, you know, your vision's blocked, you can't find a throwing lane, but you know the ball is going to come out in time because you don't have an offensive line that can protect you. And that's kind of the situation that, you know, Brock's in right now with the Miami Dolphins.
And one more thing we discussed yesterday, Brady, with Brock going in, Brock's playing now, we haven't scored a touchdown in 9 quarters of NFL games. We kicked a bunch of field goals. 9 quarters, we have not scored a touchdown as the Miami Dolphins. Would you think about putting in the third stringer? His name is David Fales. I'm not guessing you've never seen him play, but if your starter's hurt and your backup is only kicking field goals for 9 quarters, would you think about putting in the third string guy?
I mean, you contemplate it. I mean, you know how this goes. We don't necessarily know, you know, how Brock's being graded based on what they're asking to do, you know, as far as their reads, progressions, and all that. And he might be doing a good job with what they're asking to do with this offense right now. So it's hard to tell based on that. But, yeah, maybe you kick the tires on it. The tough thing is, I mean, you're still in the hunt right now. I mean, Brock has kind of done what you kind of wanted him to do. I mean, he's kept you competitive. He's kept you at 500, and you still have a shot at trying to make a wild card spot. I don't think you're catching the Patriots, but at this point, at least, you're still potentially fighting for the playoffs.
All right, there you go. Brady Quinn. Why are you laughing, Crowder? You think that I've offended him taking issue with a giraffe in the headlights?
I like it. You're a hater.
Will you withdraw that comment, Brady, as the interview comes to an end here? Will you withdraw giraffe in headlights?
Why would I withdraw that comment about that?
Well, because it just makes no sense. How could a giraffe would never be blinded
by
headlights?
Hey, Hawk, they're called high beams for a reason, okay? Those things can extend up there.
High beams.
Right? No.
Notre Dame education.
If they're extending up to a giraffe's eyes, there's a malfunction.
It's going to blind their eyes, man. You back away far enough, it's going to blind their eyes.
What if the giraffe, he was trying to sneak across the street and he was low?
Like a stealth giraffe?
A slouching stealth giraffe.
I've never seen a stealth giraffe before.
So have you been to Africa?
I've also never been to Africa. I've only been to a zoo.
Who do you think had the better life for a short period of time? Brady Quinn as the star quarterback at Notre Dame or the lead singer of Nickelback in their heyday? Like, who lived the life better? Brady, you answer first.
I guess I'll start off by asking this question. Did Nickelback have a heyday? I mean,
didn't they have a heyday, Falero?
Yeah, early 2000s, I think.
Like, I Nickelback was for a couple years. Like, they were a hot rock band.
I don't know that they ever had really a heyday, though. So, I mean, I'm not sure. But probably.
Well, it sounds like you're voting for yourself on that one, which is fine. Which is fine. Crowder, who do you think?
I didn't say that either. I just thought we should pose the question, was there ever a heyday?
I'd say Brady. I think Notre Dame has more fans than Nickelback. I think Notre Dame football has more fans than Nickelback.
Well, I would say cumulatively, there's more Notre Dame fans than Nickelback fans. I think we can say that.
And Brady, physically, I think he could pull more women than that guy. Because I looked at Kroger. Kroger's garbage.
Kroger's not a good-looking
dude. He looks like Gollum off the Lord of the Rings.
Falero, who do you think had a better go of it, Brady Quinn or Gollum?
I think Gollum, man.
Really?
2005, man. He had that album that came out. He was rocking the world at that time.
Because to be a rock star, that's what everybody always wants.
Can you even name the album?
Can you name the album?
All the Right Reasons. Come on.
He's reading that off Google.
Was that one of their songs on Nickelback?
I think the one we just played.
You Remind Me.
I think everyone's dream is always to be the lead singer of a rock band.
Starting quarterback?
But I think the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. Like that, I think that might trump being a rock star.
More kids want to be the starting quarterback over the lead singer of a rock band.
You think?
Oh, for sure.
Brady, we'll start with you, Brady.
Quick question. Do you guys still need me for this debate? Do you guys still need me for this one or no? Can I just go on that note?
You ever been to Africa?
Do we need Brady Quinn for this part of the segment? Brady, we'll start with you. Yes or no?
No, I don't think so. But actually, I'm holding up Pete Prisco here at CBS right now.
And Pete Prisco infiltrates every damn interview we're doing. We were doing one last week, and
man.
Pete Prisco's in the limo. Like, what's he doing, Pete Prisco? Unbelievable.
Pete. I'm on the phone right now, but I think he's going to use some profanity.
Is Pete there? Tell him I set him up. He's got Riptide tickets. Tell him he's taken care of.
All right. I'll pass that along.
Is he there?
I'm looking across from the office right now. He's shaking his head at me.
Yeah, tell him he's got Riptide tickets.
I will once I get off.
No, just tell him now. Just tell him now. Tell him that he's got Riptide tickets. He wanted to go to Riptide.
Putting some crumbs to show you something.
Ask him what he thinks about the phrase, a giraffe in headlights.
I'll ask him about both. I'll make sure to tell him about
both. Can you ask him now, though?
Yeah, I'm going to ask him now.
We'll see you, Brady.
I'm sorry, Brady.
Oh, he hates me. I mean, genuinely hates me. Yeah, genuinely.
Do you want him to like you? You don't try to help.
I do want him to like me, but my personality supersedes. He's still there. What's he doing there?
He told Pete Prisco about the tickets.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he wants to give you his answer.
Are you still there, Brady?
No, this is Prisco. They better be VIP too,
We go.
Pete Prisco's there.
Two for one.
We got you set up with Riptide tickets, Prisco.
Are they VIP? Am I in the front row?
Of course you're VIP. You're Pete Dan Prisco.
Just walk up there.
I just got to, I just want to make sure I can see Crowder. You know how that goes.
Oh, he's going to be VIP as well, man.
Pete, that was a good time.
There. He will be there. All right, we got to go. See you, Pete.
Shirts off, Pete.
All right, guys. All right, see ya.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, making the appearance there at the end of the interview. That was delightful. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back.